This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. Joining me to discuss that feral matter of the dogheads visiting Villa Park, Mr. Chris Bird, welcome.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm even better with the news. And it's taken Nigel Clough to discover this. Nigel Clough, son of Brian. What happened to Nigel Clough? He was doing all right as a manager. Now he's Mansfield's manager. Is how the mighty have fallen. But he has discovered, and it took over a good decade or so, that Jordan Bowery is not a centre forward. He is now playing at right back or centre back for Mansfield Town.
This is big news.
This is big news, and we have to open the podcast on this news.
Paul Lambert's had to take a holiday, frankly. He's like, oh my God, that big decision. I could have not been in a relegation fight if I'd have just played him at right back over Alan Hutton.
Yeah, there was a reason he never scored for Villa. It was because he was a right back stroke centre back.
I didn't even need to buy Matt Loughton.
He is still wears the number 9 shirt, though, for Mansfield Town. He was
number 9 at right back is confusing.
And he has played up front for them now recently because I think their forward was injured. But there's a redemption arc to his story, isn't there? Where he wasn't actually a striker after all these years making a career from kid upwards to his 30s. And he realises right at the 11th hour that actually he's not a striker. But it was Nigel Clough that has discovered that. So well done, Nigel. You've saved a man's career. As always, this episode of the My Old Man Said podcast is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. The league season is entering the business end and Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Aston Villa fixture over the run-in. With more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. Football is best enjoyed with your mates, so if you're not at the ground this month, get a text in the group chat and head to your local Green King Sports venue to catch the game. Don't forget to download the Green King Sports app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts whenever there's a game on. Moving on to It's McGinless Villa Time, Chapter 2. First chapter, one all, three-part series. First chapter, one, a draw against West Ham, which we will take, considering it could have been taken away from us in that last minute. But rightly this time, VAR, that should have taken 30 seconds but took about 7 minutes, ruled out West Ham's goal. But an invigorated performance. We didn't look weakened by missing McGinn on top of Kamara in the midfield there.
Second half, we looked better, didn't we?
vastly improved. Yeah, there was definitely an acknowledgement of a lack of presence physically, and you know, obviously playing West Ham and some big chaps in there, so they, you know, the likes of Konsa coming in at right back and Rodgers up there and Duran in there, it just beefed us up a little bit, and you didn't feel we were missing any tenacity and strength necessarily. But I think this game's all about, it's very much two teams with a bunch of key injuries.
Massively so, yeah. Obviously for Villa there's an endless list, and Wolves have obviously lost Neto, Cunha, Huang, et al.
Heechan, Neto, Cunha are all hamstrings, aren't they?
Yeah, hamstrings to them are what ACLs are to us.
Yeah, various degrees of severity. Good time to play him without Neto. He was a bit of a problem against the last time he played, wasn't he?
He was in that first game. He's a very good player, to be fair to him. Yeah. Kind of plays in a similar way to, you know, someone like a Bailey for us. Really, you know, cuts in from the right and really drives him. I remember when they scored their opener at Molineux earlier in the year, he just crucified Pau Torres, didn't he? Bless him. Absolutely burnt past him. And they were good on the break that day, but I think they'll have to approach this one differently.
It might compromise, because they were on the upward. I mean, you know, last six games in terms of form, won four, lost two, but losing Neto for pretty much the rest of the season might temper where they're going to end up. I don't think they will. I mean, they were an outside chance of launching a Europa Conference League spot attack, but I don't know now. I mean, famous last words, they'll come to Villa Park and might put on a show, but
I mean, they've already really exceeded expectation, Wolves. I mean, a lot of the talk from their own fans really before the season was, you know, we've sold Neves and other big hitters have left. We're going to be in trouble here. And I think the job that O'Neill's done there is actually a really, really good one. He's really turned him into quite a sort of well, you know, sort of a sum of the parts type of team who can really punch above their weight a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, credit must go on the doorstep of O'Neill. I think he's done a good job.
Yeah.
And he seems to be an astute manager and probably a perfect fit at this level at the moment, as he's still making his name, so to speak. In terms of looking at home and away records this season, Villa, remember the glory days. I like to always mention this. So remember the glory days when we were top of the home record table, but now we're fourth, where we are in the league, 1 point above Tottenham.
We need to stay there.
2 points above Newcastle, but we've actually lost three of our last four at home. This is not good. This needs rectifying.
Especially when you're playing against a team who haven't lost in the Premier League to you since 2003. Wolves' record at Villa Park in the Premier League is very, very good.
Yeah, this is one thing, just while we're on the away form, in terms of Wolves, they are 11th with 17 points from 14. 5 wins, 2 draws, 7 defeats. Villa's away form is actually 4th, so we are 4th for a reason. It's that game in hand that Spurs have is actually away from home. They're one, I think it's the Chelsea game, isn't it? If you want to be
it hasn't been scheduled yet either, has it?
Specific,
so it could be a really high pressure game at the end of the season, that one.
In terms of the last six games form, Wolves are 6th in the table with those 4 wins. Villa are actually 9th. But yeah, going back, it's one of those fixtures where Villa fans, you forget, you kind of goldfish it and you forget about the last season's games or, you know, recent seasons. You just think, oh, Wolves, we should be beating them at home. But as you say, when you look at it historically, was it David O'Leary was the last time we beat them
at home? David O'Leary,
yeah. And Premier League we're talking about, yeah.
Yep.
And that is not great. And by the way, it's not one of these things where we haven't actually played them since David O'Leary, because we've played a few times in the Premier League since then.
Yeah, I think it's 4 draws and 3 wins for Wolves at Villa Park in the Premier League. And obviously we played them a couple of times in the, you know, the Championship era, where we, you know, battered them 4-1, although they were pretty much promoted by that point. And I think we drew, wasn't it Bruce's first game, if I remember rightly? I think we drew that one.
Yeah, so this... oh, no, McGinn. Poor at home recently. This is more difficult than we expect. But I was buoyed by what I saw against West Ham.
Especially how we finished.
I was looking, you know, after that Spurs game, walking out of Villa Park, I was thinking we could get beat by West Ham. Good luck getting something against Wolves and City. Ooh, I think we could be winless here. And by the way, that's still on the cards. So this is why this, in terms of fourth place, this is a, you've got to do the business here.
Especially with the other fixtures.
You know, yeah, because if you don't win this, then suddenly you go into City. If they beat you, you're looking at, oh, when was the last time we won? And you can't go 4 games without a win and expect to finish where you want to finish. It's not going to happen.
No, and also even just on the day, you know, we will know by the time we kick off how Spurs have got on against Luton, of which, now off the back of Spurs getting tonked at Fulham last time out, I wouldn't expect them to be losing that one. Good luck to Luton. I hope they do turn Spurs over, but I would expect Tottenham to win that game at home.
And then you've got the situation where if we do slip up against Wolves, United play straight after us, so they can be gung-ho.
I mean, at Brentford.
You know, if we slip up, I mean, if Spurs win and we slip up, United will smell blood. So this is an important game, like,
Very important.
It can't be stressed enough. I mean, what will be a travesty if we get beat by Wolves and then beat City? If you'd beaten City after beating Wolves,
you'd be very much 3 points up, wouldn't you?
You would be in the box seat. But I think if we get beat by Wolves, we'll get beat by City. That's unfortunately the maths on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Neto thing is key. If they had Neto, I would be a little bit apprehensive about this one. But the fact that we looked okay without McGinn against West Ham, Neto's missing, maybe Cunha as well.
Yeah, he's very much 50-50.
Yeah.
And Quang's out, so it's like that. We don't quite know who's going to start down the middle up front for Wolves.
Well, literally, when we played them at Molineux, that was their front three. Yeah. So
they're very good on the break.
Yeah, they're potentially missing all of them, and you've got to cash in on that. I mean,
I think so.
Okay, you know, we're missing McGinn and Kamara from when we played that day, but, you know, we were playing Cash as a in front of Konsa on that right-hand side. I don't think we need to, well, it cashes out anyway, so it was not as if we have to pay them any respect in that front. I think we can go at them. I would even consider Diaby and Bailey and just go for them. You've got to go for them.
I was going to get to that, but yeah, I think you've got to be positive in this one. Because actually Wolves, they've got some good results and they've been on a fairly decent run. But I saw the Coventry game in the Cup, and Wolves played a strong side that day. And Coventry, they just moved the ball and they've just pulled them apart. Defensively, Wolves were just there to be got at. You know, I think when Wolves have been winning games, you look at them, especially the home games, they've been beating a lot of teams who you'd expect them to beat at home. You sort of think Fulham, Brighton, Sheffield United, they're all games on paper. I'd say, yeah, Wolves should win that game. They had a great result at Chelsea, which is a game that I think, you know, we went there and won. A lot of teams have gone to Stamford Bridge and won. The big one, of course, was they went to Spurs and did us a favour that day, if you remember.
Yeah.
So they are capable, but I do think they are defensively there to be got at. You just have to be brave enough to have a right good go.
Yeah, because you look at that Coventry and Wolves game and it's easy to dismiss it as, oh, it's a classic old FA Cup ding-dong battle.
Coventry battered them?
Coventry played really well, really slick. Villa, if they play with the same conviction, and they obviously can play at that level, we've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
If they just concentrate on basically taking it to them, then we should be okay.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
When your skin feels nourished and glows, you radiate confidence. Osea makes giving your skin a glow up easy with their clean, clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This seaweed-powered duo features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, but one of the problems we've had against Wolves is we haven't taken key chances at certain times. I mean, like, you Watkins hitting the post in the last encounter, then Bailey threw, that was at Villa Park, wasn't it?
And, yeah, that was the one in January when it was Ings' last game, season. I thought that one. When he rounds the keeper and missed it.
That would have completely changed the complexion of our previous form, not beating them for a long, long time.
It was obviously the Wolves game, wasn't it? The previous sort of, well, a couple of years ago now, which was sort of the start of the unravelling of Smith's tenure when we were 2-0 up cruising and absolutely gifted them the win.
We need the spirit and fury of Bjarnason. We need to channel that. That's still one of the funniest goals I've seen at Villa Park.
With his fist pump.
It was like, I've had enough. I'm fucking on the subs bench all the fucking time. He comes on, he goes, right, you fucks, here we go. He just gets...
I'm going to toe poke the fourth.
It's like he's just looking, he's avoiding eye contact at all costs. He's not passing to anybody. Toe pokes it, gives the whole tender kind of up yours. And it's brilliant.
And he fucks off down the tunnel at full time, doesn't he? Doesn't even bother saying about, see you later, I've done my job. Ta-ra.
It's a great moment. Underrated moment, that one. Unfortunately, not in the Premier League. But yeah, if we can, as well as a bit of slick interplay, channel the spirit and the fury of Bjarnason, I think we'll be all right here.
And defensively, obviously, hold our shit together, which fortunately, bar obviously Cash picking up a little knock away with Poland.
Well, a little knock, he's out 3 weeks, and 3 weeks
game of things, this,
it's a long time in this what's left of the season. You're missing a big chunk.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's a serious injury, though, and I think you can happily play Konsa at right back. I thought he did very well there for England against Brazil. And actually, some of our, as I said in the previous shows, some of our best performances of the season have come with Dinho at left back, Konsa at right, Torres and Carlos at centre back.
Yeah, we were talking actually about locking down a back four, and probably this is the excuse you need to build that familiarity, because let's admit it, Emery likes a change, although the Cash coming on change has been effective.
It was at West Ham, wasn't it,
in terms of changing the direction of a game, so that is missing a little bit, but there's other ways you can go about increasing a threat on the flank. But yeah, in terms of being a bit more solid, I think this helps. This is, after all, the back four that served as well in terms of clean sheets against, two of the top three. So
yep,
it's thumbs up in that respect.
And I think, bar the Cash knock for Poland, I actually think generally our guys had a fairly decent international break. I was really glad that Bailey wasn't included with Jamaica, keep him sort of rested. Torres obviously wasn't in the Spain squad. He needed to get himself fully fit, I think. Konsa had some good minutes for England. I think that can only be a good thing. Tielemans, of course, is probably the unexpected one. He had a cracking game against England for sort of 70, 75 minutes, took his goals really well.
Good header, the second one was...
Great goal, that one.
Yeah.
Diaby was back in the French squad. I think he'll only take confidence from that. So actually, we've hopefully coming out of an international break, which came at a good time for us.
There's a weird thing that going back to the Tielemans, the diving header, in the build-up where Lukaku does dunk, it's almost picture book copycat of what he did Roma versus Brighton in the Europa League. Falls on his ass when he's going in to take on Lukaku, and he does him like a kipper. It is quite funny. It's like, lightning striking twice there.
Yeah, and Tielemans started and finished the goal. I think a lot of Villa fans watching it were like, bloody hell, he caught up with Plague well then.
Yeah.
Because he's really kind of...
People say he's got his permanent face is like he's blowing all the time. And, we were joking a few shows ago that he looks like somebody who used to be a somebody in his day, but is now playing Sunday League football. So he's got a few touches and, he's he used to be a bit of a baller back in the day, but now he's put on a bit of timber. But even though he hasn't, in reality, he looks like that's his kind of demeanour. And it is kind of confusing when you watch him. You think, is he fit? Is he always blowing? But I don't know. I think that's just his demeanour, is it?
Yeah, because he's... You get him around the penalty area and he's still a very, very sort of nifty player, and mentally
sharp. You're just saying he's still, and he's still in his 20s. It's not like he's...
It's mad, isn't it, how long he's been around. We think of him as like a sort of 32, 33 plus year old.
Yeah.
And he's not at all.
Still learning the game. So, that's the good thing. If Tielemans steps up, then you have got a senior international midfielder there.
From a good side as well, as much as they're probably...
It's not as if we're devoid in that department. We do have more depth than we've ever had in recent years. Ramsey potentially could make an appearance. I'm still not banking on it. I mean, we said the international break would be good to give him 2 weeks where he's, again, not missing games, and maybe he'll pop up on the bench.
He looks like he's back training with the squad. You don't know how much work he's done sort of before that, but I think they're probably looking at this one going, we could really do with him being involved.
Yeah.
Especially at home.
But even, with one eye on the Lille game.
Yeah, there's big... big matches coming up in the next few weeks.
And he needs to get involved.
If he could finish the season as he did last season, that would be big for us. You know, you're only looking for sort of 10 to 12 games out of him.
You've got 9 league games. You've got potentially 5 Europa Conference League games. So you want him to be involved over half of them.
You want him to have a clean run to the end of the season. Now, I have a sneaky suspicion there's either another breakdown in him or potentially come the summer. You can kind of nurse him through the games, but he may need to go under the knife or something. I don't quite know. The foot thing seems to be really sort of a bit of a lingerer.
But he is somebody who can win you a game. Going to be in games where we need match winners because we're going to be in death or glory moments pretty much in the league and the cup because there is a prize on the line in the league. It's not as if you're just picking up whatever points you can. You're going to have to get some games. It's do or die. And Wolves, actually, we shouldn't be relaxed now. We should be fighting to the death in all these games.
Every game's massive now. We've got a clear, you've got your international break out of the way. It's a pretty clear run now to the end of the season. You know what you've got to do.
Sorry, going back to Wolves, in terms of their threats, this is the problem. Their front three, when we played them before, as we've already said, potentially could all be out. Even Dawson's at centre-back, he's a doubt as well. Is he totally out or is he 75%?
They're sort of not sure. Him and Cunha are very much 50-50s. They're not sure. I think Cunha's been training, so they're hopeful that he'll probably be involved. He'll certainly be in the squad, I would imagine. Dawson, they're not sure on.
Yeah, Dawson, I mean, he missed Fulham through a groin injury. You know, I think he'd probably be there. And that would be big for Wolves in terms of the defensive side of things. Mm-hmm. But I'm still not that convinced about them going forward.
No. Yeah, I don't have this one down as being a classic. Yeah, Sarabia's a good player. I think Alt Nouri, the left back's quite a good player. When he goes forward, he had a couple of really good moments against Coventry. You know, he scored the equaliser, made the goal that put them ahead. Very dynamic player. You know, Alt Nouri against Bailey could be a really interesting battle, sort of going both ways.
They've got, Fraser's only 19 as well, and he's, leading the line.
I think it's just one of these. Villa have got to take the opportunity here. A, you fucking owe them one at Villa Park, and B, it's like, if I keep using this phrase like a broken record, but if you've got aspirations to be where you want to be, you can't fuck around in games like this. You've got to get over the line.
And you can't keep not beating Wolves at home, so this has got to end. So,
yeah.
Mom's pull panel result says home win from me.
Home win from me, yeah.
And the Dogheads I think they went a long way to derailing our Europa League aspirations last season because that pegged us back.
That was a terrible game as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that derailed us. But it's always a tough game against them. I mean, it's not like we don't really go overboard in terms of the West Midlands derby type thing. That's reserved for the Blues and then, secondary the Baggies. Wolves is more... The banter between the fans is a bit more fun in terms of taking the piss, isn't it? It's not nasty.
No,
it's
I wouldn't have said
more wind-up-y.
Yeah, yeah. And a bit more Twitter-led. You know, I've been to a couple of games at the Molyneux before, and it's never one of those ones where it feels particularly threatening, I wouldn't have said.
No, I remember when we played them in the cup and they had the whole of the North Stand, and the to and fro was more humorous and winding up rather than...
Yeah, it was.
Hostile and nasty, and it's we both don't like the Baggies, but
they don't like the Blues, to be fair.
Yeah, but the thing is, they are actually in recent times, they're actually apart from when we let go the spirit and the fury of Benibi Arneson, apart from that, we've struggled against them in recent.
We have, yeah, we have.
It's a bit of a bogey team in that respect, but it has to end here.
It does.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.